Thank you, Jesus. Give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Your will be done in this service, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing, that what needs to be said will be said, and we'll take it to heart, and we won't just be hearers of the word, but we'll be doers of the word, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that chains are falling off of us right now. Everybody, just agree with me right now, if you love Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power going forth, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for touching and healing the brokenhearted this morning. Thank you for giving the anxious peace, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessings, for this congregation, for your people, for the nation of Israel, Lord. We ask you just to bless and protect Israel, Lord. Thank you that America is in revival, Lord, that America belongs to you, Lord, that America is going to return to its first love. Thank you, Father God, for godly leadership in America. Thank you for a unity in this land, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for blessing this congregation and our families and friends. And we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and give them some praise, guys. Thank you, Lord. We have much to be thankful for. And there's a lot going on. And this little body of believers, there's so many people that are hurting and dealing with certain issues. Listen, whatever you're going through, the answer is Jesus Christ. Okay? So don't give up on him, because I assure you, he will not give up on you. So keep hanging in there. Keep your focus on the cross and be expecting God to do amazing and mighty things. Amen? Amen. Oh, man. Okay, 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the verse we finished with last week as we're going through our study in 2 Peter. And listen, it's kind of cool, because what's the opposite of being fruitful, man? You know, unfruitful. Who wants to be an unproductive Christian? Raise your hands if you want to be an unproductive guy. You know, nobody wants to be that. When we sit back and think about it, nobody wants to be unproductive, especially for the Most High God who's done so much for us. Amen? Think about it real fast, because this has a lot to do with the sermon this morning. Think back and think about just a little bit about what you've been forgiven from. Man, we have all blown it big time, man. You know what I mean? We've all fallen short. Look at your neighbor and say, man, you're a hot mess. Look at your neighbor and say, we've all blown it, man. You know what I mean? But see, the awesome thing about Christians is we realize, you know, that we can't do it on our own. We realize that we need a Savior. Amen? And we've accepted that precious gift. We are so blessed, but let us never get far from the cross. Does that make sense this morning? Let us not ever forget what has been done for us. Amen? Yeah. And it's easy to do as we, you know, like some of us have grown up in church. I grew up in church. I've been in church my whole life. My mama gave birth to me in the back. No, I'm playing. No. But listen, man, I grew up in church, and sometimes it is like really, really easy, man, to forget. For us folks that have been raised in the church, that we're sinners just like anybody else. You know what I mean? And there ain't nobody in here is perfect. Amen? So bottom line, what I'm trying to say is that we've been forgiven us so much. And that should mean something to us. Amen? For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. So there should be some growth in our lives. You know what I mean? We should be bearing fruit. Christians bear fruit. That's easy enough to understand, right? You know what I mean? We don't want to be unfruitful. We don't want to have a tree at the end of our life, you know, where we didn't really do anything for the Lord, that we were just so complacent we could care less. Nope, not us, right? Give them some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So real fast, back in the previous verses from last week, we talked about some qualities that Christians should have. We're going to run through them real fast, guys. Virtue. God wants his people to be virtual reality people. No, God wants his people to be virtuous, man. Good moral conduct. Man, does anybody say, ouch, I'm not very good morally conducted. You know what I mean? God wants us to be of good moral character. And you know what? That's a process like anything. You know what I mean? I'm not that person I used to be. But the more time I spend with the Lord, the more time I fall in love with him, the more I'm like, you know what? This is not of the Lord. I'm not going to get involved in this nonsense anymore. We're talking about growing this morning. Amen? So, listen, we're talking about God wants his people to be virtuous and knowledge, growing in the understanding. Okay, you don't know enough about the Lord. You understand that? We don't know. Now, you can know every verse in this Bible, man, and you can still learn more and more every single time you get into it. You know, God wants his people to be increasing in knowledge of him, growing in relationship with him. These are things that we need to be aware of and look at. You know, am I content with my relationship with the Lord? Do I know everything I want to know? You might know everything you want to know, but the good Lord wants to teach you more and more and more. He wants us to grow in intimacy with him. Okay, so virtuous people, growing in knowledge, self-control. Raise your hands if you've got that self-control thing down, man. You've got it down. Okay, now none of us, this is what we're shooting for right here, you know. And when I was studying the other day, I immediately thought about this. It was little Gracie's birthday 2 weeks ago. It wasn't very long ago. And Gracie got to go to the store with her mama, and which is never a good idea, but she went to the store with her mama, and she got all these sweets, man, for her party. It was just a little family gathering, just the immediate family. And she got this cookie cake and like an apple pie and brownies and all kinds of stuff, man. And I'm trying to watch the sugar and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I want to be healthy and be here for a long time for my kids and everything. You know? So there's all these sweets before me, and I've been doing really, really good. And my beloved Rachel Jean, she says, well, it's her birthday, honey. Just eat a little tiny piece of cookie cake. And I says to her, in all honesty, I'm like, I can't. You know, I can't. If I eat one little tiny sliver, man, I know how my flesh man is, man. And once I cross that line, I really cross that line, man. It's like I'll run straight up to the cliff and then like, hey, jump off of it, dude. You know, that's how I am. I'm not good with self-control, man. Once I cross that limit, man, there ain't no telling what's going to happen with me. So anyways, long story short, is I ended up eating like, I waited for her to walk out of the room. Oops. Y'all be cool. Yeah. God is good, right? Let's get back to our study. Now, anyways, man, Rachel Jean walked out of the room, and I was cleaning up all the stuff, and I was like, well, maybe I should. It is my baby's birthday. I'll just have a little tiny piece. And I ate a little tiny bite of cookie cake, you know what I mean? And then it was like the ravenous beast. It was like I hadn't eaten in years. Like I just bursted out of prison or something. It was crazy. It was nasty. But I'm talking about self-control this morning, guys. Okay, that is a trait. That is something that Christians should have, something we should be working on. Amen? And that's a stupid little picture of how awesome I am with self-control. You know what I mean? But, man, we all have that line, man, with something. You know what I mean? Where we know, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be looking at this. I don't need to be talking about this. Because we know, man, there's that line, and if we cross it, Lord knows what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So God wants his people to have self-control, to be a virtuous, moral people, to grow in relationship and knowledge of him, and to have self-control. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Anyways. And steadfastness. God wants his people to be steadfast. Steadfast. All God's people said steadfast. What does that mean? That means like perseverance, man. Not giving up. I've been going to church for a long, long time, man. And the, you know, sometimes, man, you just want to give in, don't you? You just want to throw in the towel. But God's people need to persevere. That's what God's looking for, you know, not giving up. Raise your hands if you ever feel like giving up, man. Like life is just too hard, man. Life is too stinking hard. It's not fair. You guys realize it's not fair, right? Yeah. Sometimes we all feel like giving up, but we're going to grow in perseverance. You know, because we got to persevere through these trials that we go through to get the blessings of the Lord. Amen? We're running this race. We're in this race. And we're getting close to the finish line. Don't give up now. Virtuous, growing in knowledge, self-control, steadfast, godliness. How devoted are you to the Most High God? How many idols? Can we even count the idols that we have in our hearts, man? You know, what steals God's affection in our life? Is it worry? Is worry an idol? What all are we putting above our relationship with the Lord? How committed are we to the Most High God? This is something that we're supposed to be growing in as well. Amen. Godliness, brotherly affection. How you doing with that one, church? Brotherly affection. Are you loving your brothers and sisters? Brotherly affection. That's in there too, man. We got to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know what I mean? Brotherly affection and love. Charity. The more I love God, the more I'm going to be able to love my brother. You know what I mean? So, Peter here saying, God's expecting his people to have some growth, some maturity. You know what I mean? So we can look back at our life and say, you know, the things that I did last year, are they bugging me now? You know what I mean? Or do I still feel completely comfortable with that? Because, you know, we get these strong towers, we get these fortifications in our life, man, that we won't let anybody in. We won't let the good Lord touch them. You know what I mean? This is my little pet sin, whatever it might be. And the good Lord, you know, once this is revealed to us, and we probably don't have to think too hard about it, you know what I mean? When this is revealed to us, the good Lord says, you know what? It's time to work on this, chief. Okay, anyways, tell the truth, shame the devil. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective. Man, I do not want to be ineffective. I do not want to be ineffective. I don't want to be that guy, man. I want to do what God's called me to do. You know what I mean? We've been called to be the salt, man. You know what I mean? What does salt make you do, man? You ever have a hankering, man, just to scoop up a big old handful of salt and pour it in your mouth? And I can't get enough of it, man. Rachel used to pack my lunch and she'd send me just a bag of salt. Bag of salt mixed with lemon. No, I'm playing. That's stupid. But what does salt make you do, man? It makes you thirsty, man. Our life should show people, hey, there's more to this life than just your own little silly pursuit of happiness. You know what I mean? That there is a God in heaven who loves you. We should be making people thirsty for the Word of God. You know what I mean? Salt brings life. You got to have a certain amount of salt. That's what we've been called to be. You know what I mean? God wants his people to mature and not just kill time till quitting time. Can I get a witness? For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want to be unfruitful. I want to be productive. Raise your hands if you want to be productive. What if you get that? Do you got one of those jobs? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I had these jobs before where you got to meet with somebody who's like your supervisor, and they go over this list of how good you're doing and all that. How would you like to meet with your supervisor Monday, and he's like, well, what we got here, okay. Says right here, you've been pretty unproductive and unfruitful. How do you feel about that, Mr. Rott? I think you're a liar, man. No, looky here. We are going to be accountable to our supervisor, to our Lord and Savior. And no kind of excuse you think you're going to be able to say will not be able to hold water in his presence. You know what I'm saying? We want to hear that we were good and faithful and awesome servants, and that we ran the race, we finished the course, we kept the faith. Amen? That's what we're shooting for. So the Apostle Paul, Peter, we're in Peter, 2 Peter, talking about Christian folk, not church folk, because that could be two completely different things. But people that love Jesus need to be productive, need to be bearing fruit, increasingly so. Amen? Okay, 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. Let's go to the next slide, guys. That was all recap. Now we're getting started. No, I'm playing. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Man. All God's people said, man. Man. How you like them apples, man? Do we ever do that? Is that true? That we can forget? We can actually forget what's been done for us? Maybe we don't really, really forget, but maybe we live like we forget. You know, we live like we've been perfect our whole lives. You know, like we're perfect now or something. Yeah. That's not the case, man. We've accepted a perfect, precious gift. You know what I mean? It's no works. It's not works. It's not doing good deeds. It's not putting money in the offering plate. That don't hurt. But it's not doing good things. That does not get you into heaven, man. All right? That's not what it's about. But Peter's saying, you know what? You can look and say, are you bearing fruit, man? That right there, that's confirmation that you belong to the Lord, that you it's no longer about yourself, that you're starting to see things differently, that you're thinking more like God. You want to be more like Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you an example. it's nothing cool at all, but, you know, I still have to fight selfishness. Yeah, I am Paul, and I can be very selfish. Before I was a Christian, man, you know, I didn't care much about anybody else, you know, like any other young fella. But man, when I gave my life to Jesus, there was a noticeable change, man. I still remember it like it was yesterday, and this is the God's honest truth, man. I would drive by these same nursing homes that I drove by for years, man, where me and Rachel Jean live. There's nursing homes all around us, and she always threatens me, like, you don't, she's like, I'll drop you off. Yeah. But anyway, they're all around me, and, you know, I always drive around, didn't think nothing of them, you know? And, man, when I accepted Jesus, for real, I drive by them, and my heart would begin to break, man. I just had this burden for the people that had been forgotten, for the people that were hurting. And it's like I couldn't get it off my mind until eventually me, no training at all, or, you know, just barely even just raised in a church, but never living like a Christian, accepting Jesus Christ and knowing that there's something in there for me to do. I walked into a nursing home one day. I did. I asked them how much was a room. No. I walked into the nursing home and I didn't know what to do. And I had a Bible. And so I went in this day room area, and I started putting people in the wheelchair against the wall, trying to line them up against the wall. And by the time you get two sitting there, one would kind of scoot off with their feet. And I did about three or four times, and they just all kept going. And I was like, okay. I just started reading the Bible to them. I didn't know what to do, but I started reading the Bible. But that was the beginning, man. And I did that for years and years and years and years. And man, it was such a fruitful thing. It's such a precious time in my life. Talk about being used by the Lord when you see somebody that waits week after week for a son that's never going to show up, but still looking out of that window. And then you walk in and he's like, hey, are you my... No, but you hang out with these people, man, and you love on them, man, it's amazing. Okay, what I'm trying, I said all that just to say is, man, there was a change in me. It's not that I didn't want to do bad things. I still wanted to do bad things. You know, it's a process. I've accepted that gift, and the Lord says, hey, don't do that anymore. But the Lord also says, hey, why don't you do this for me? Why don't you show people my love? Why don't you show how awesome I've been in your life? You know what I'm saying? We need to be bearing fruit. Can I get a witness? Amen. That's how I met Teresa Martin, matter of fact. Remember that? Back in the old day, she used to work at the place I used to go to. Yep, sure enough. Yep. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. How about that? Peter's saying, if you forget what's been done for you, if you're not being productive, you're pretty much spiritually blind, man. You know what I mean? If you don't have a Christ-like burden for what's going on around you in your community, if there's not something burning in your heart sometimes for the Lord, man, you are just blind. You know what I mean? And that's how I was, man, just driving past the nursing homes and the ghettos and all that. Well, better you than me. You know? But then something happened to me. I'm talking about, man, when we sell out to the Lord, we have a burden for a lost and dying world. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Let's not ever forget that, man. We have been cleansed of our former sins. Amen. Let me go ahead and read John 15 right there on your monitor. John 15, verse 1. This is important stuff right here, guys. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If we're not growing in areas, if we're not growing in relationship with the Lord, if we're not bearing any fruit at all, I mean, if we're not bearing a positive result for the Lord, you know what I mean? If we're not out there, and I'm not saying that all we do is witnessing and stuff like that, but as Christians, man, there should be a change in us. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying you have to invite people to church every 5 seconds or you got to try and leave somebody to Christ every single day. But we want to be what God's called us to be. The things we used to do, we don't want to do anymore. Even when we want to do them, we're saying, you know what? I want to please God. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know what I mean? We should be growing in relationship. And if we're not growing, if we're not bearing any fruit, what do you do, farmers? What do you do, farmers, when you got something that ain't bearing no fruit at all? It ain't bearing no fruit. It's dead. Ain't no good. Right? Okay, so there is that possibility if you're completely content with doing the same old stuff that you've always done. You know what I mean? You might not be in the family. And we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Does that make sense this morning? But look at this verse right here. I am the true vine, Jesus Christ. We got to be connected with him. We got to be in him. I am the true vine, and my Father, the vine dresser, or the gardener. Verse 2. Look at this. Look at it on your monitor. Look at your bulletin. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So, I hate to say it, there could be people in this church right now that are talking the talk, but don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about faking people out. It's not about looking super spiritual. It's not about any of that type of stuff. It's about accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, realizing I need a Savior. I know Jesus is the Son of God. I know he was born of a virgin. I know he died on a cross and rose from the dead for my sins. And I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. I'm not going to get to heaven on my own. And I accept what he's done for me. And once that happens, you know what? There's going to be some changes in us. And you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and really mean it. And you might not fall on the floor. You might not fall on the floor. You might not start talking in tongues. You might not see spots and sparkles. You might not see any of that stuff. You know what I mean? But it's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know there's been a change in me. Does that make sense this morning? Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. But once we've made that decision, there should be some changes. Amen? Amen? Not perfectly, but increasingly. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Man, that is powerful stuff right there. We can have the wheat and the weeds mixed up together, and the wheat looked just like the weeds, and the weeds look just like the wheat. You know what I'm saying? God will do the separating. We're to do the loving on one another. Amen? That makes sense? Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, oh man, this is a whole nother sermon. Do y'all got time for a whole nother sermon? And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Is that true? Is that true? Gardeners, is that true? If something's bearing fruit, you prune it and it bears more fruit? Okay. Well, that's what the good Lord does to us, man. Okay, there's your trial that you're going through right now that's not making any sense. Well, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why am I going through this? I've been your servant. I've tried to do everything right. Well, I guess you was bearing some fruit. And I guess the good Lord wants you to bear more fruit because you're productive, and he just wants to make you more productive. Amen? But if you're not bearing any fruit, man, that should be a major warning sign right there. Right? Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus. You are the branches. Hi, branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Okay. If we're not in relationship with the Lord, we're not going to bear any fruit. We're not going to bear any lasting good result for the kingdom. You know, God's not going to be able to use us. You see what I'm saying? For apart from me, you can do nothing. You're not going to do anything for the kingdom. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to do, if you don't belong to him, you're not going to bear fruit. Apart from him, we can't do nothing. Think about that. We can do an awful lot, but it's not what God wants us to do. You know what I mean? We can do all kinds of things. We can try and save the African dirt dauber bug. We can try and save trees. We can try and do all kinds of stuff, man. But we want to live a Christ-pleasing life. We want to do what God's called us to do. And, you know, I'm not saying don't try and save the North African dirt dauber bug. If you want to do it, do it. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about Christian folks bear fruit for the kingdom. Amen? All right. Thank you, Jesus. How's everybody doing today? Can one of y'all give me a ride home in a little bit? Cool, man, cool. John, 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Look at this one, guys. But God's truth stands firm. This is coming to you out of the NLT, man. New Living Translation. But God's truth, aren't you glad God tells the truth? Aren't you glad that God can't lie? Aren't you glad that you can always go to the Word of God, and even though you don't always like what it says and it doesn't always feel good, you know it's the truth? You know what I mean? But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. Man, isn't that awesome? We don't know who's saved and who's not. You know what I mean? We don't know. You don't even know if I'm saved. I mean, think about it. You don't know what's in my heart. True story, man. But God knows who are his. Right? God knows, and that's all that has to know. Amen. But a lost and dying world should be able to say, hey, there's something different about this one right here. Something's going on. He's not worried about himself at all. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation of stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. Amen. And all who belong to the Lord, this is the hard part right here. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil, must turn away from sin. So, look, man, there's these sins here, and there's like the sins that we're all very familiar of. Like, okay, if I cross this line right here, I'm breaking God's law. If I do this, this is a bad thing. I'm breaking God's law. And the problem is I really want to do this. You know what I mean? There's those types of sins, but there's also those types of sin where God says, hey, man, I need you to do this. And you're like, I don't want to do that. You know, that can be a sin as well. If we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, that can be a sin also. So there's these things that we all need to be doing, man, that maybe we're doing, maybe we're not doing. Sometimes, I don't know, I'm trying not to say something stupid, but here we are. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Listen, let me say it like this, and thank you, Brother David. Sometimes it's easy for us to not cross that line because, like, whoa, no, I know I shouldn't be doing that. But sometimes, you know, the Lord says, hey, do this, man. This is the right thing to do. I want you to give a fiver to this dude on the street. But I, man, he's on drugs. Man, first of all, you don't know if he's on drugs. I do know he's on drugs because he stole my neighbor's TV for drugs. Okay. Well, the good Lord just said, give him a fiver, man. So give him a fiver. You know what I'm saying? All right. We can also sin by not doing what God has asked us to do, like witnessing and stuff like that. Okay, we've all been called to be ministers. We've all been called to witness, not just me. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm just trying to say that we're supposed to be bearing some fruit. Let's go to the next slide. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. What does that mean, man? Brothers, make sure your calling and election is sure. Okay, Christians are supposed to be bearing fruit, man. We're supposed to be productive, okay? It's supposed to be more of God, less of myself. The things I used to do that aren't God-pleasing, I need to be getting distance between those. You know what I mean? I need to be more like God, less like myself. I'm set aside for God. He is holy. I better be holy. He's my daddy. You know what I mean? Okay, now, Peter just said, if you're not bearing these types of fruit, if you're not being productive, then maybe you're not saved. Or maybe you've just forgotten what God did for you. Maybe you're just a lazy Christian. Maybe you just forget the awesome, wonderful thing that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Okay? But let's look at it like this. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Okay? Christians are supposed to bear fruit. Everybody say that. Christians are supposed to bear fruit. It's true, man. So what is this calling stuff? How can I be sure of my calling and my election? What is this craziness Paul's talking about? 2 Thessalonians, look right here on the monitor. I sound like a game show host all of a sudden. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 over here. To this he called you through our gospel. Okay, were you called? Were you called? Did you hear the gospel one day and you're like, man, I need that. Did you read the gospel one day and you're like, man, I'm a sinner. Okay, somewhere along the line you heard the word of God. Either you read it, you saw it, preacher man on the TV, Sunday school teacher, you heard the gospel and you knew, man, that's for me. Well, I don't remember when I got saved. Okay, it's not about remembering the exact date, because I'll be honest with you, I don't know the exact date that I got saved. Nobody run or leave. I don't know the exact date that I got saved, but I know it happened. You know what I mean? I know I'm a father because I got these kids running around. I can't hardly move without tripping over one of them. I'm saying when something happens, if something happens, you know it happened. You might not know exactly when it happened, but you know it happened. You know what I mean? I know I'm married because I got this ring on. I know I'm married because I got Rachel Jeannie. I'm saying I might not know. This is horrible. I might not know the exact date. Of course I know the date I got married, man. It's just an example. We can forget stuff, okay? But we don't forget it happened. You know what I mean? Amen. That's right. You heard the gospel. You accepted the gospel, okay? And to this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's beautiful, man. We get to share it in Jesus Christ's glory when he did all the hard work. Okay. Moving forward, Ephesians 1 and verse 4, talking about that election. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Was I called? Did I hear the gospel? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, man, that's awesome. You were elected to be a Christian before the earth ever existed. Okay, so here we are. We heard the gospel, and when you heard the gospel, you had been pan-picked by God before you were ever born to be in his family. Okay, so make sure, what all this is saying is, Paul, you need to make sure that you're a Christian. Okay, well, if it's not by works, how do I know I'm a Christian? Because I know I accepted that precious gift. Okay, now I can look at my life and see, hey, man, there's a trend of growth going on here, man. I'm no longer comfortable doing these things. You know what I mean? And I'll grant you that, man. It's a process because some of this stuff we don't want to let go of. Amen? You know what I'm saying? But listen, if it's bothering us, we're moving in the right direction. Now we need to put it down. Can I get a witness? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Okay, so Pete's got these fruits, man. These qualities. Like, hey, look for these, man. Let's see. Christians need to be moral people. They need to be self-controlled. They need to have love, brotherly love. They need to be growing in relationship and knowledge of the Lord. So look for these things. And if you practice these things, which all Christians should do, and be growing in them, you're not going to fall. What does that mean? Could mean a couple things, actually. Okay, once again, if you're not bearing fruit, you might not be a Christian. Okay, but if you're bearing fruit, hey, that's a sign. Look, man, I'm bearing fruit, man. I'm in the family. When this is all said and done, I'm going to a better place. Amen? Isn't that wonderful to know? Because, man, this life can be pretty tough sometimes, man. Pretty tough, you know, but God's with me through it. He's with me through this journey. He gives me wisdom. He gives me strength, you know. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He gives me what I need, you know. But, man, it's going to get super awesome, man, when I check out. It is. It's going to be wonderful, man. The more friends and family I get on the other side, the more kind of stoked I get about it. And to this actual day, I mean, it hasn't been that long at all, but I remember every Wednesday night meeting Bobby Jean Joyner right there in the foyer. And that smile, man, and the hugs and all that. And I can't wait, man, because she's already there. I can't wait. Like, probably somewhere out of nowhere. Like, oh, so you were a 14th century martyr guy, and here comes, you know, Bobby Jean Joyner giving you a big old hug. Man, I can't wait for that hug. You know what I mean? I can't wait for it. It's getting sweeter and sweeter by the day. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Okay, if I'm growing fruit, if I am steadfast, man, I'm like, God, I'm going to do this. You know what I mean? I am going to be a self-controlled Christian. I'm not going to give this person a piece of my mind, even though they deserve it. I'm going to do it right by the Bible. You know what I mean? You're not going to mess up. How about them apples, man? If you obey God, you're not going to mess up near as much. Can I get a witness? When do you mess up? When you don't obey the Lord. When you do what you want to do, all right, then we have a problem. So let's look at this. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Okay, that doesn't mean everybody's going to like you because you're bearing fruit. You know what I mean? That's what we want, man. We want to be productive for the Lord. We want to be God-pleasers and not man-pleasers. And guess what? You're a man, and sometimes God is like, please me, and not worry about yourself. You know what I mean? All right. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Let's go to the next slide. 2 Peter 1 and verse 11. For in this way, this is good. This is good. Here's some good Christian qualities. Look for these in your life, beloved. Let's be bearing some fruit. And if you bear fruit, you're not going to mess up near as much. You're going to have an awesome testimony, man, an awesome witness. It's a good feeling to go to bed at night and realize, you know what? Hey, so I had this situation go on today, but I did it by the book. You know, I followed the word of God, and I did it by the book. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know God's in control, and I know I was obedient to the word. That's a good feeling. Amen? All right. 2 Peter 1 and verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. Christians bear fruit, and whatever, sometimes, man, it's pretty tough around here. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't want to be obedient to the Most High God. You know, sometimes we don't want to be the better man. That's another thing. I can hear my dad. Where's my siblings? I got any of them? Oh, there they are. Man, do y'all remember dad saying that? You got to do the right thing here. You know, you got to be the peacemaker, this sort of thing. And, you know, as a little kid, I was like, I don't want to be the peacemaker. I got something for them, man. Yeah. He was like, no, that's not what you need to do, son. You know? Sometimes it's not always fun, right, to do the right thing. But God says, don't worry about it, man. There's an awesome reward waiting for you right around the corner. So give him some praise. Look at John 15:14, not to be confused with John 14:15, but John 15:14. You are my friends. That's nice. Isn't that nice? For the Lord. You know what, Paul, you're my friend. But you need to do a study on being a friend of God, because Moses was a friend of God. So it's a tough road, man, but God is with us. Okay, John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So if we belong to the Lord, less of Paul, more of him. You know what I mean? Being obedient to that word. I don't want to be a... I know, I get it, man. But this is what he's called us to do. And don't forget, let's not be nearsighted. Let's not be spiritually blind. Let's not forget what's been done for us. You know what I mean? Because a huge price was paid for our salvation. Okay. We want to be obedient. Amen? Matthew 19:29, we're going to close with this. And all God's people said, amen. All right. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So maybe we've had to give up some stuff. Maybe that straight and narrow road's been a hard road for us. Maybe we've lost some loved ones. Maybe just horrible, tragic things have happened to us, man. But we've been determined to serve the Lord. On the mountaintop or the valley, we said, I'm not giving in, I'm serving the Lord. Check this out. All God's people said, check this out. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake. Now, let me make this clear. Jesus is not saying, if your wife ain't a Christian, go ahead and dump her and start dating the Christian girl down the way. He's not saying that, right? All right? If you didn't know that. All right? And everyone who has left houses. Okay, it's like this, man. What if I lose everything in this life, in this world, but I belong to Jesus? Guess what? You're going to get paid back many, many, many times over. The good Lord will not be indebted to you. He's got some wonderful blessings for us that we can't even begin to imagine. We need to be excited about that and keep trucking. Amen? And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Man, I can deal with that. I can handle that. You know what I mean? Just keep thinking about that. Inherit 100-fold. Inherit 100-fold. That's a lot. I'm no mathematician, but 100-fold sounds like a lot. 100-fold plus I get to live forever? Yeah, sign me up. Okay. But it's going to be hard in this world, Preacher Paul. Yeah, I know. But man, the good Lord ain't going to leave us or forsake us. He'll give us the strength. He really will give us the strength to do the right thing. He will. We just got to listen to him and be obedient to him. Sometimes we got to bite our tongues, man. You know. Anyways, yeah, if I would have bit my tongue, I wouldn't have ate all them sweets, and then my sugar wouldn't have got all messed up. And Rachel says I get real moody when I get my sugar gets messed up. I don't know if that's true or not. Brother David. Dear Lord, thank you that this bunch of folks